Of the Pack
the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's at TicketKing.com.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to a Sunday night edition of Pulse of the Pack. I am your host, Jacob Westendorf, finally back home. Spent the weekend in Iowa City. As you can see, not a good weekend for football for me, but I am here for therapy, is what I'm going to call it. And this is also a special version of the show, but before I get to why that is, I'm joined by my host, co-host, Jason Perrone. Jason, I really hope you're having a better weekend than I am.
Yeah, sure. Why not? You know, Jacob, I think you knew this. I've had a little bit of a hamstring issue. Actually, I think it's actually kind of like a glute/hamstring issue. I've had this for like the last couple months, so I've gotten a really good perspective on like what these guys deal with when they have a hamstring injury. It's been kind of a huge pain. And actually, the bigger pain is in the glute. So last week, I finally decided to kind of try to tackle this a little bit harder. Went in for an MRI, and I'm actually going in tomorrow to get the results. So because of where the pain is located, and after today, I fully expect that MRI image to show a big white and green G.
Okay, that's definitely interesting. Well, hopefully it turns out to be not a white and green G and just a clean MRI and just some general old man pain. But this is a special version of our show because it is the first unscripted version of Pulse of the Pack. As you can see, we don't stick to everything we do by, you know, just a piece of paper and go through everything. But for the most part, we have a general outline of what we want to discuss. Today, there will be none of that. It's been 2 weeks since we've talked to you. And in that time frame, the Packers have lost handily, although the final score doesn't show it, to the Indianapolis Colts. And today, absolutely embarrassed by the Tennessee Titans. And we're going to kind of lump both losses together because it's two AFC South teams that, I mean, Jason, we didn't talk last week, but I know at the beginning of the season, we both expected the Packers to win those games. And last week was just kind of a weird game. They couldn't get any pressure on Andrew Luck. And before you know, they're down 13 seconds into the game at 7-0. And I'm thinking this week, well, it can't start any worse. Well, the Packers recover an onside kick. They have great field position to start the game, and they promptly go 3-and-out. And then all of a sudden you blink, and it's 21-0. And, yes, this version of the Green Bay Packers could start worse than giving up an opening kickoff for a touchdown. I'm not here to knock the Tennessee Titans because I think they are a team that could be on the rise eventually. Marcus Mariota, I loved him coming out of college. I think they have some good players on their defense, but, you know, and games aren't played on paper. On paper, the Packers are a better football team than the Titans, and that secondary is not good, and they were really just kind of bogged down. I mean, this Packers offense, I know there's been some productivity, and they did some better things today. But overall, it seems like they can't get anything going until out of reach. I mean, I accepted what this game was in the first quarter. It was 21-0. And I'm like, okay, everything from here is garbage time. I know there's a lot of time left, but, I mean, Jason, I almost kind of felt like how I think I imagine you feeling like during a game from the game's over, I give up, and I know the Packers defense can't stop Marcus Mariota, and I know the offense can't really get anything going. Now, they did enough to score 25 points, but that doesn't really matter when you don't score until it's 21-0. So I say all that to say, Jason, before we really dive in here, what do you think, or what were you thinking throughout the course of these two games?
Well, I'll start with one of the things that you said, which was on paper, the Packers are a better team than the Titans. Well, you know, those of you who remember the great series that was on NBC at one time called The Office, I think we know, obviously, in the digital age of today, paper is becoming more and more obsolete. So it really doesn't mean anything anymore. And I think this Packers team, one of the things I was saying all week long and when I made my pick was that I don't trust them to beat anybody right now. And I literally say anybody because the Packers are not playing up to their potential. And so I keep hearing about all this talent that the Packers have and all this potential that they have. Well, none of those things have ever really crossed the goal line with the ball in its hand. So, you know, unfortunately, that's not translating onto the field. I mean, obviously, these last 2 weeks have been pretty disgusting from a standpoint of the result. Two losses to teams that the Packers should have beat. Neither of us predicted either of these games to be losses in our preseason show, our preview show, which obviously a lot can change over the course of 8 to 10 weeks. That can change the complexion of a matchup, and so much for this easy schedule that the Packers had. Although I think, Jacob, you and I tempered our thoughts on that way back, even before we knew what the season was going to turn out to be. Obviously, from year to year, really those schedule strength stats and ideas, I think that whole thing just needs to go out the window. It's just ugly football in everywhere, in every possible corner of it. That's the easiest way that I can say. I don't think it's hyperbole to say the Packers are literally not doing anything well right now. They're not doing anything well. They keep getting banged up. Guys are getting hurt. David Bakhtiari went out and missed time today. Jason Spriggs had to come in and play. TJ Lang is going to be a problem the rest of the year because he had the hip injury, and now I think he's got an ankle on top of it. So Don Barkley has to come in because J.C. Treader's not healthy. And even if J.C. Treader is healthy, do we trust this coaching staff to make the right decision with personnel in the offensive line? I don't know. It's disarray is what it is. And at this point, it made my afternoon very easy because I had to step in and do first impressions on Cheesehead TV today for Jersey Al, who, congratulations to Jersey Al, his son got married today. So he had a much better Sunday than a lot of us did, I'm sure. But, you know, it was easy to write that because you knew where things were headed. You knew kind of where things were going, and it was easy to predict what was going to happen. Game balls and lame calls, spoiler alert for those of you who read the site, that thing was written by halftime. And so I've gotten, in the last 3 weeks, I've gotten an awful lot of afternoon time back that I usually spend writing for the site. And that doesn't mean it's any less decent content, but unfortunately, it's just easy to predict. It's not a good thing. It's not on the positive side of how things are going for the Packers. But they're very predictable. And at this point right now, until they can show me that they can do any better, my prediction is going to be they're going to keep losing games.
Absolutely. And a little update on the injuries. You mentioned Bakhtiari. TJ Lang, I actually saw him on the sideline. They didn't give any updates. But he was in a walking boot or an air cast or something of the sort. So, you know, that's not a positive thing, mostly because mine and Jason's favorite player, Don Barkley, now is the starting right guard, unless J.C. Treader is able to get back from his injury. But, I mean, that was a 4 to 6 week deal, to my understanding. So we're in 2 weeks of that. We're two games now with Don Barkley probably having to block some of the interior guys and stunts from the Redskins, who are a complicated defense, and also having to block Fletcher Cox, which is terrifying here in 2 weeks against the Philadelphia Eagles. But, you know, you mentioned today, and that's where I kind of want to go. Before we get too negative, I'm going to be – because it really, let's be honest, there's not a lot of positive. I would almost argue none. But I'm selfish, and I like pointing out when I'm right. But there was one player, one of few players who came to play today, and one of them was Devontae Adams. 6 catches, 100-plus yards receiving, made some nice catches on the sideline. Devontae Adams does not suck. And I think that's been proven throughout the course of this season. But where I want to start is the use of the personnel today. And that really begins with Ty Montgomery, Richard Rodgers, and that whole thing there. Ty Montgomery played 13 snaps today. Richard Rodgers, the Packers were kind of doing that thing where they're getting back into the game and they're going for it on fourth down, and Richard Rodgers let the ball hit him in the chest and fall on the ground on the sideline. It would have been a fourth down conversion. For a guy that's supposed to have the best hands on the team, he tried to make a body catch, and it bounced off him and it hit the ground. And that was really kind of the summation of the Packers' day. The defense couldn't do anything. They offered almost no resistance to the Titans in the first half, very little in the second half. And the offense, like I mentioned earlier, didn't really get going until it was 21-0. And the special teams, Trevor Davis, the first stop the Packers made right before halftime, you know, they've got a chance there to make it 28-23. I believe the score was 28-16 at the time, and I don't remember because the game took forever. I remember that as well. But they had a chance to make it 28-23 going into the half, and that's a ball game, you know. And Trevor Davis fumbles the punt, and Mariota promptly throws a touchdown to Kendall Wright, and all of a sudden it's 35 points for the Titans in the first half instead of 28. So today is probably best described as a failure by all three phases. But I bring up the personnel because Mike McCarthy was horrible. I mean, anybody who's followed me for the last – I've been with All GBP, Cheesehead TV, Packers Talk since 2012. Anybody who's followed me knows I am a staunch Mike McCarthy supporter. I have scoffed at the questions about him being on the hot seat because the Packers have been a productive team. And reality is now they're 9-12 in their last 21 games. And if any of you are my friends on Facebook, you saw in around the third quarter, you know, I said, Mike, it's been fun, but it's time and goodbye. I am done. You know, I mean, barring a 7-game winning streak that wins the division and winning however many games in the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl, I'm through. The Packers make some adjustments and then they go away from it. You know, they kind of get on a roll with their short, quick passing game and then they go away from it. Ty Montgomery, who's been very good when he was on the field, played 13 snaps today. He has this coaching staff as a whole has a fascination with what they call good football players. And by that, you hear those things, that phrase thrown around for guys like Richard Rodgers and Micah Hyde and Don Barclay. Now, I don't want to lump Micah Hyde in this group because I do think he's actually a better football player than those other two. Don Barclay is terrible, and Richard Rodgers just doesn't serve any purpose for me. He's done nothing all season. He's done that. We're talking about plays that he almost makes. He's dropping touchdowns. He's dropping big fourth downs. And the personnel used today was terrible. Trevor Davis did not see any time on the field. Ty Montgomery saw very little time on the field. You're talking about – those are the guys you're talking about leaving on the sideline. You can even throw Jeff Janis in there, leaving those guys on the sideline in favor of Richard Rodgers. And that is just poor. And – you know, Mike McCarthy used to be one of the best coaches ever in the face of adversity. Best coaches in the league, I shouldn't say ever. In the face of adversity, that's when McCarthy did his best work. That's what this is. The Packers are below 500 now. At this point in the season, I believe for the first time since 2008, unless maybe that with Aaron Rodgers healthy. I guess 2013 is kind of a wash there because he wasn't healthy. But they're not doing anything well on offense. Their defense was a dumpster fire today. Now, I know some of that has to do with injuries, but the reality is those guys are on the field, they're paid, and there's no excuses in the NFL. Special teams was terrible. Mason Crosby missed an extra point. He's usually pretty reliable. He missed an extra point. They did one good thing with the onside kick. They screwed up by Demetri Goodson covering a punt, falling into the end zone. Instead of downing the ball at the 1, now the Titans are at the 20. And you got Trevor Davis fumbling the punt as well. So, Jason, give me a brief assessment of how you felt throughout the course of this game and really what your thought is on the use of some of the players on the team.
This game was putrid. I use the term pathetic all the time, and I get hammered for it because I use it all the time, and it's a very negative term, and it is. It's a very negative term, but there is a time when it's time to get real. It's time to be real, and it's time to look at what you're seeing in front of you and look at the results and admit that this is subpar. This is sub-ideal. This is not what we're looking for. I mean, I sit here and say, oh, the Packers don't look good. It doesn't look good for them. This team is not the type under Mike McCarthy. We've got 10 years worth of samples. They don't play well from behind. Have they come back from behind and won games? Yes. Have they surprised us? Yes, they have. In general, they don't play well from behind. They're very predictable. So as far as use of players, I'll go back to my mantra at this point. I don't trust this team, and a lot of it is the leadership. I don't trust the leadership of this team. I think that it's valid now to question Mike McCarthy, his handle on this team, his pulse on this team, his effect on this team. It's time to question, and it's okay to question Ted Thompson. Did he do enough to stock the cupboard? I get injuries. I understand injuries. Teams are dealing with injuries all across the league. The level of play from the Green Bay Packers over the last month has been flat out abysmal. It's awful. It's unacceptable. It's terrible. And someone's going down for it. It's probably not going to happen during the season, although we're heading in a direction here where anything's going to be on the table at any given time, just depending on – we don't know what's happening behind closed doors and in that locker room. So we saw what happened right before the season with Josh Sitton getting let go, and there were some rumblings that part of that had to do with some things that were being said in the locker room and attitudes that were flying around. You never know. You just never know. So my big issue is I am not surprised by any questioning of use of personnel. You know, why isn't Ty Montgomery getting more carries, which is ridiculous to say. You know, he's a wide receiver. You told me 3 months ago when we were previewing the season that the big issue in week 10 is going to be that Ty Montgomery's not getting enough carries out of the backfield. I would have looked at you cross-eyed. But it's a thing, because Ty Montgomery out of the backfield was something that was working, not being utilized. It's not getting its proper play that it's supposed to. So this team is lost. I'm done sugarcoating it, and I'm done trying to appease everybody who wants to hear something positive. We're past that. This team is done. They're done. They're not going anywhere. They're not making the playoffs this year, because they're not going to win any more games at this present clip. Can that change? Sure, it can change. The team that I saw today, because Jacob, you asked me what did I think of today and the use of players. Well, obviously, the use of players is terrible. This is the second week in a row they've targeted the heck out of Richard Rodgers, like you said. Richard Rodgers, I guess I didn't realize that he was supposed to be known as being the guy that has some of the best hands on the team, but I think we can kind of shove that out the window, because I wasn't impressed with him last week or this week at all. He dropped the fourth down ball. People were getting on Aaron Rodgers for throwing a low pass. Let me tell you something. That ball had to be where it was thrown so that it was either not intercepted or Richard Rodgers was going to convert another fourth down. Well, Rodgers dropped the ball. So you've got a lot of weird things going on with this team and how guys are getting their snaps, how guys are getting played. But if you look at the box score from today, I think it's safe to say that the Packers are leaning on their steadies, because that's what Aaron Rodgers wants. That's what Mike McCarthy wants. All the targets went to Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson, and Randall Cobb. And honestly, Adams and Nelson had a pretty good day. Davante Adams, I agree with you, Jacob. He's the only game ball of the day on this entire team. Stepped up and had a big game. The long catch that he made where he leapt up and actually made a great effort to catch the ball, that wasn't there last year. That's why they drafted Davante Adams. There is hope that Adams is going to become what they hoped that he would be when they drafted him in the second round 2 years ago. Thank God, because if Jordy Nelson starts declining because of age, and Nelson actually looked a lot more like himself more today than he has so far this season, the Packers are going to need Adams to be that number one guy. And I know that we don't care what number one, number two, number three receiver is in the Green Bay offense, but you know what I mean on the depth chart. These guys at the bottom of the receiver core, not getting used. Trevor Davis, muffed a punt return. Those are the kind of things that get you stuck back on the bench. You got to hold on to the ball, son. You got to hold on to the ball. Jeff Janis, I'm done with Jeff Janis. I don't want to hear about Jeff Janis anymore. He's finished as far as I'm concerned. I see him out at receiver, I'm disgusted. He catches a Hail Mary and wins the Packers a game, I'm still disgusted. I'm tired of Jeff Janis. That train has left the station. He's out there for what? His speed, great. Looks flashy and cute on TV, doesn't produce results. So I'll turn it back over to you now, Jacob. Those are my general overall thoughts. We have a lot of other stuff to kind of get to and talk about, and I think we should probably drill down a little bit more on personnel changes, specifically within the administration, but it's not good. Two words I had to put together and describe this Packers team right now is not good.
And I'm sure I want to go back to, you know, you mentioned your use of the term pathetic and all that stuff. I'm sure, you know, I've known you for as long as I've been with PTRN, so almost 5 years now. And there have been times where, you know, you've sent me messages during a game and I just kind of sit back and chuckle because I'm like, this is a good team. Like 2014, for example, you know, they lose a game or something like that. And you're saying those kinds of things. And I'm sure you would look back and say, you know what, that team isn't pathetic, or, you know, that performance was just chalked up to a bad day. This is the point now where you are right, because I mention the record all the time because it keeps coming up. And since starting 6-0 last season, the team is 9-12 in their last 21 games, and that includes the playoffs. So they win one game in Washington, and then they lose on a heartbreaker in Arizona. But there's just nothing – they're not getting better, you know. And if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Something that, you know, I notice more and more about these days, I go back to – you know, college football, and these are two different games. But I remember, for example, when Michigan's head coach was Brady Hoke, and you could see from week to week that they were not getting better. And eventually their starts, you could see, were a mirage. They were winning against bad teams, and they would lose in Big Ten play to teams that they were thought to be better than, but reality was they never got any better from the first game of the season. And you could see now, you know, excluding – this is bad timing for this example because of the way Michigan lost the other night. But you can see – Michigan getting better week to week more often than not under Jim Harbaugh. And that is what a good coach does, is he makes that team better. Because, you know, Jason, you mentioned on paper at the beginning of the season, every team is kind of in a cluster, you know, because you really don't know what to expect. Nobody at this point expected the Dallas Cowboys to be 8-1, for example. Nobody expected the Green Bay Packers to be 4-5. I think at this point in the year, I had the Packers with one, maybe two losses. When we did our season preview show, but they're not getting better. And what they do is they do adjust for a little bit, and then they just continue to bang their head into the wall with these isolation routes, no huddle, 11 personnel with Richard Rodgers. And, you know, Randall Cobb is doing a couple things in the slot, but not really. Jordy Nelson had a good day today. Devontae Adams, same thing, but it just bogs down, and Aaron Rodgers is playing backyard football, scramble drill football, and at some point, that has a shelf life. It's the same thing as, you know, when Tim Tebow, for example, was the quarterback, or the read option, or what was the other thing? The Wildcat. You know, that's what backyard football is. It's a phase, and it phases itself out. The NFL is about structure. Now, being able to make plays outside of the structure, that's great, but not when that's the basis for your entire offense. And I'm watching plays today where, you know, Mike McCarthy last season, when the season ended, was saying how, you know, the passing game needs big targets running through the middle of the field. Well, there's so many plays that I watch, and they showed a replay today of a game that Rodgers got sacked on, and there's nobody in the middle of the field. Like, they have the behind view of Rodgers, and it's kind of higher, and you can't see a receiver in the frame because it's showing the middle of the field. So that tells me that McCarthy is full of crap, for lack of a better term, because you're not attacking the middle of the field. And when they do attack the middle of the field, they have success. That's the part I don't understand. They have success with things, and then it's like they go away from it because McCarthy's being so stubborn and wants to continue to bang his head against the wall. You know, we're longing for the days of the 2014 offense, and the reality is it's very simple right now. That offense doesn't exist anymore. Not with this – and I do think that they have some talent on that offense. You know, when Jared Cook comes back, I think that gives them a pretty good quartet of pass catchers with him, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, and Jordy Nelson. But they have other guys that they won't use. And for right now, they don't have those guys, so you have to adjust the offense. And they haven't done that for, you know, Jason, you said a month. I'm going back to last October, late October, early November, when this whole disaster began. And the Packers go 4-6 down the stretch, 3-7 without a Hail Mary to Richard Rodgers, which was a miracle. And then a win against an inferior opponent and a loss to the Cardinals in overtime, which when you kind of look at the way, you know, the trends of the Packers defense was predictable. As soon as the Packers didn't get the ball first, I should have known. Of course, I don't think those things during the game, but I should have known they weren't going to win the game because the defense doesn't make big stops. And, you know, that's kind of cliche or I don't even know the right word for it, but it's just true. They have a chance to win the game against Atlanta. They drop one interception. They have a chance to make a great play on another. They don't. Atlanta wins. They get back in the game against Indianapolis, and ha-ha Clinton Dix has Morgan Burnett. He has Andrew Luck lined up, a sack. The Packers will get the ball back with like two-ish minutes left to play, and Aaron Rodgers will have a chance to go down the field and win the game. Clinton Dix misses him. Luck completes a pass. They have another third down. And to use my friend Bill Huber's expression, T.Y. Hilton is one-on-one against Quentin Rounds, and he gets wide ASS open and gets a first down, and that game's over. They don't make any big plays. I think we've seen that. You know, even the Packers' touchdowns, they haven't had – and I'm not saying that you need to have long bombs and all that stuff all the time to be successful, but they don't make any big plays. Everything is difficult. Everything is a struggle. Defense, we're talking about takeaways. Again, zero takeaways today. That's a trend for the whole season. They don't make big plays in the return game on special teams. They drop the ball. They don't do anything well right now other than play in garbage time. And, you know, you're talking about how everything last week, the most interesting thing I thought I heard was, and this is where I tend to believe there's a disconnect between the quarterback and the head coach. And that's where the, you know, Mike McCarthy says after the game the next day that there wasn't a problem with the energy level. Well, the day before, Aaron Rodgers and Brian Bulaga, for that matter, a veteran in the locker room, said, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't have, quote, the juice. And that was kind of the buzzword for the week was juice. Well, then the Packers come out this week, and as I mentioned, they're down 21-0. And they're making bonehead plays. They're jumping off sides. They're hitting the quarterback after jumping off sides. LaTroy Guyon had the dumbest play of the day by doing that. Mike Daniels did it the possession before. Mike Daniels, and I love him. Mike Daniels is one of my favorite players. Mike Daniels gets a stupid taunting penalty. I hate to break it to you, Mike, but taunting isn't something you do when you're down by 20 points. And you haven't done anything the entire day. There's no excuse for that. There's no reason for that. That is a boneheaded penalty. Now, I'm not a fan of taunting penalties in general, but it's a little more acceptable when your team is winning. The Packers were getting embarrassed, and Mike Daniels is running his mouth. You know, and I don't need to say that Mike Daniels needs to focus on playing because he's one of the only good players on that defense right now, but at the same time, he needs to get his guys to play and the guys around him to stop worrying about this tough guy attitude because – reality is the Packers don't have that, and they shouldn't have that because this defense isn't tough. They've given up 78 points in the last 2 weeks. The Colts offense, while they do have Andrew Luck, is not that good. And the Titans offense is really gimmicky and kind of one-dimensional with the running game, and everything's based off of that. They still gave up 47 points. That is the most points they've given up since they lost 51-29 in 2008 against the New Orleans Saints. That is embarrassing. And I think that all goes back to the head coach because lack of preparedness, lack of discipline, and a disconnect with really the locker room. I mean, DeMarco Murray's touchdown run, the first play from scrimmage, he goes 75 yards untouched. Quentin Rollins, and I think it was Julius Peppers, Quentin Rollins especially, just quit chasing him. Now, he probably would have tackled him at the one, and they probably would have scored anyways, but that's a bad look. Like, your player just quit. And I think that goes back to the head coach. I think that last year I kind of scoffed at the message is stale. You know, I thought it was more of a, the players weren't executing and they didn't have the personnel. Well, this year I think they do have some personnel and I think they can do some things, and they're still not doing it. They're 4-5, 9 games into the season. The only saving grace of this really is the fact that the Vikings and the Lions, neither of which are very good, are the teams that are ahead of them in the division. They've already beaten Detroit, and they lost by 3 against Minnesota. But the Packers are a team that plays in a city named Green Bay, which is nicknamed Title Town. And Mike McCarthy said it himself, we don't hang banners for division titles out here. Winning the division is not good enough. This team is not a championship contender. I have a feeling, you know, if they played Seattle or Dallas or, you know, really almost any team, like you mentioned, Jason, at present state, they would get blown off the field. I mean, they just got blown up. The AFC South might be the worst division in football. And the Packers have lost 2 games to teams that aren't named the Houston Texans, who happen to be the division leader at the moment. That's embarrassing. And they were embarrassed and outclassed in every single facet today. And let me make this clear, too. It's not like Mike McCarthy and Dom Capers were being outcoached by Bill Belichick. You know, that was Mike Mularkey. And it's a guy over there. I got friends that are Titans fans. I've got friends that have been, you know, in some of Mularkey's previous stops as an offensive coordinator. Mike Mularkey is not an offensive genius. He's not a good football coach. The Titans almost kept him around, you know, just because they didn't want to see anyone else. He's not a good coach. And the Packers looked, I mean, I think it was Ryan Wood from the Green Bay Press Gazette said, this looks like varsity against JV right now. And in the past, we used to say those things, but the Packers were the varsity team. And now, Jason, as you've mentioned a couple times the last 2 weeks, the new normal is the Packers are the JV team. So what I want to get to off of all that, well, Jason, do you have any thoughts on anything I just said? And then we can move to our next subject.
Well, that was a lot, Jacob. That's a very loaded question. So I know we want to move along. You got a chuckle out of me. I was on mute so that I don't garble in the background. But you got a chuckle out of me with the Mike Mularkey comment comparison to Bill Belichick. And that was a belly laugh, by the way. So nicely done there. I couldn't even remember Mularkey's last name. And I get the Titans aren't a familiar opponent. It's not like I should know because they don't play each other but once every 4 years. But, you know, supposedly it was the same thing last week. Chuck Pagano said this win, we're going to play this game. We want to get a statement win against the Packers, and the Colts did. Well, Mularkey said the same thing today to his team. They came out and got the win, and then afterwards he took a nice little shot at all the Packers fans in the stands and said the Titans fans were better than Packers fans, which frankly, you know, right now Packers fans don't have a whole lot to cheer about, so that they were even heard in the stands is still an indictment of how many of our fans invade opposing stadiums, but okay, fine, whatever. You know, it's a new normal. That's why I titled the show what I did. It's a new normal, and I think we just need to start thinking differently. We need to start realizing that there are no easy games anymore. Jacob, you summed it up perfectly. Everything is difficult. Nothing is simple. Even when they make a play, somebody gets up and yaps at the opposing player, and all of a sudden they get an unsportsmanlike penalty tacked on top of it. We had 2 scuffles today. I'm surprised there weren't Packers players that got thrown out, because you had the usual suspects like Mike Daniels and LaTroy Guyon, who, when they choose to use their emotion to their advantage on the field in play, can be fantastic players. But when they're off the rails at the wrong time, they're absolutely awful. And I was absolutely shocked that there wasn't more guys getting flags and penalties. And on that note, completely unrelated to either of these 2 teams, Jacob, I know you agree with me. Jeff Triplett is the worst thing going in the NFL. He is so awful. Please fire that man.
Yeah, Jeff Triplett is commonly known in my and my friend circle as the incompetent boob. Because today, you know, he's calling personal foul penalties on Kyle Murphy, who happens to be inactive, by the way. He didn't even suit up for the game. And, I mean, that's just a small thing. You know, the Packers game took a long time, partially because of the points scored, some injuries. But Jeff Triplett, I mean, literally, Ed Hockley gets through his diatribes before Jeff Triplett decided what he even saw. And Ed Hockley loves to hear himself talk. Jeff Triplett can't get through any of those things because he doesn't know what the hell he's looking at. I mean, it's simple usually. With some officials, you can tell the good ones from the bad ones because they'll throw a flag and it'll be holding offense number 65. Gene Steratore comes to mind. His officiating crew, in my opinion at least, is very good. And they're very clean. They announce the penalty. They move on. Jeff Triplett takes a year and then some to announce what the hell that he saw. And it's awful. I want to move to the next subject. And to kind of segue this, we took questions and we had one guy send one in. And that was Clint, who is at Pack_Rules, RULZ, 1978. And Clint, I hate to break it to you, but this Packers team doesn't rule anymore. So maybe a change of Twitter handle might be in order, but I say that in jest. And his question is, since Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy are not going anywhere, who on this staff and or roster will? I want to stick to roster for a moment because I have my thoughts on the coaching staff and the front office. So I want to stick to the roster. And I think, you know, I just don't know what people want as far as big changes go because – there's a lot of contracts you're kind of locked into. You know, Jordy Nelson is one. Randall Cobb is another. You're not getting rid of Aaron Rodgers. And let me really drive that point home. You know, there's – Packers Twitter is hilarious to me because this year is a little more justified, Jason. But, you know, in the past, the 2014 team, I mean, we're literally complaining about a team that year that finished 12-4, and you look at the end of the season and it finished – 4 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl. That was one of the three best teams in the NFL that year. Complaining about that team was a spoiled fan base mentality. This year it's not. But as far as the roster goes, I just don't see what – I mean, you know, a lot of people are frustrated that Clay Matthews has been missing time recently, but you can see how different the defense is with him on the field as opposed to not on it. And I just don't see how you let that guy go. You know, maybe you can make the argument that he should have played on the inside more because he didn't miss any games in that time. And he's better on the field than he is off of it. And he does have hamstring issues and such. Those have plagued him throughout his career. But I don't have the exact numbers with me. I also do know, though, that, you know, the Clay Matthews is an injured person all the time and never plays through injuries is exaggerated. He's played through a knee injury. He's played through a broken thumb. He's not as Hollywood as some of you guys may want him to be or may want to believe that he is. And, you know, the reality also is he's the Packers' best defensive player, and that defense still makes or breaks whether or not he is on the field. But, I mean, you look at some of the free agents, David Bakhtiari, they re-signed. You know, Eddie Lacy, we've discussed him at length. Micah Hyde is around as a free agent. I don't know if they need to bring him back. You know, some of the other things is, one conversation that probably needs to be had is whether or not Sam Shields can come back because it sounded the other day, they said Sam Shields was in Florida, which doesn't sound like the place that someone should be when they're in the concussion protocol. They never mentioned whether he was in it or not, but it doesn't sound like, based on that, that Sam Shields is going to come back this season. And then you have to question whether or not he can come back beyond this season. Can he play next year? Because, you know, this is the new age as far as concussions. This is a big deal. And, you know, Sam Shields has played three quarters of one game, and, you know, it's unfortunate. It's not anything that's his fault. I don't want to sound like I'm blaming him because I hate when people do that. It's never a player's fault when they get injured, unless it's a – more often than not, I should say, it's not a player's fault when they get injured, but especially a concussion. It's not like he can do anything to make him less susceptible to those. It just happened, and it sucks that it happened because he's one of the Packers' best defenders, and you can tell that he's missed because even when – Demarius Randall was healthy, this defense was getting gashed, and they still are. And I think Sam Shields would fix some of those things because he adds an element of speed to the defense. But I just don't know as far as the roster what they can really change. I think that, you know, they could bring in some different people, whoever that may be, but that would require, and I don't want to spoil too much, but that would require some different management, so to speak. But that's how I feel about the roster. I think that, you know, for the most part, you're going to see them draft guy, you know, so assuming it stays the same, you'll see them draft guys, maybe bring in a veteran here or there. And by here or there, I mean one of here or there, because typically there's only one. But there's just not a lot that they can do to change things because, you know, it's not like they're going to sell off Aaron Rodgers. And that was the point I wanted to get to. Their solutions that people give on Twitter all the time. And I also believe that there is such a thing. Everybody is entitled to opinion. That's one great thing about this country that we live in. However, there are some opinions that are also wrong. And if your opinion is the Packers need to get rid of Aaron Rodgers, that is a wrong opinion. And the reason I say that is Aaron Rodgers the same quarterback he was in 2014? No. But he's thrown 23 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and with an offense that really doesn't do anything to help him out as far as making easy throws, getting him into a rhythm, stuff like that. Now, more is expected of Aaron Rodgers. I understand that. But there's like 7 men, maybe less, that can play the quarterback position at an elite level. And Aaron Rodgers is one of those people. So everybody's got this. You guys almost sound like Bears fans. I always joke, Bears fans' favorite player is the backup quarterback because it's not whoever the starter is. More often than not, that's been Jay Cutler in the last few years. We don't know anything about Brett Hundley. We have no idea if he's any good. Yeah, I've seen him play in the preseason. Great. I've seen Aaron Rodgers win 2 MVPs and a Super Bowl MVP. And I've seen him do some really good things this year too, even in not his best year. A lot of teams around this league would kill for a quarterback, quote-unquote, problem like the Packers have. And the people that are making this argument about how, you know, it's Rodgers' fault and he's not a leader and all these other cliche things that you really know nothing about, these are the people that, in my opinion, the ones that are saying those, the ones that are driving that point home, are either the guy who happens to host Fox Sports 1's Undisputed show, and I will not mention him by name, another guy who happens to be on a Fox Sports 1 show named Colin Cowherd, or Packers fans that still snuggle with their number 4 jersey at night because they can't let go of the days of Brett Favre. And I don't want to act like Brett Favre is a nothing, because he's not. But he's not the quarterback. And believe me, there's a lot of revisionist history that goes on about Packers fans with Favre, because as many great plays as he made, there's plenty of boneheaded ones too. And a bad year for Brett Favre was 20 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. A bad year for Aaron Rodgers is 23 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. He's got a long way to go before he gets to that level of a bad year. Jason, I go back to the original question. What is your opinion on what could change on the roster?
Another loaded question, and I almost don't want to answer this. I mean, I'll answer for the sake of the discussion right now, but my whole take on this team has – there's so many ifs and asterisks because, well, who's the regime? Who's coaching this team? And then injuries. I mean, there have been enough injuries so far this year that it's like, well, can I count on anybody to finish a damn game? Because every time I turn around, somebody's hurt, and it's always in droves. So, I don't know. I mean, this roster, if it's still going to be Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy going into next season, then, yeah, you have to assume the formula is going to stay the same. Free agency is not going to get used anywhere near as much as it should. Yes, I am obviously stating my opinion on that. It is underutilized. If it is those two guys and they go into an offseason where the Packers don't make the postseason and somehow they both survive and are coming back next season, and Ted Thompson drones through the offseason the same way that he has over the past couple of years, maybe kicks the tires on a couple of free agents, brings a guy in, like you said, Jacob, a guy here or there, but not both, and they do their usual draft process, and they're drafting guys, and they bring in their undrafted crop, expect another year of the same thing. Because, you know, we've talked about it several times on this show, and I've been a big proponent of, please, everybody, understand the definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you're going to get something different out of it. You're not. They're not. This Packers team is not, like you said, Jacob, it's not 2014. This isn't the same team. There are players from that team that aren't on this team anymore. There are players that are on this team that aren't any good anymore. And I'll throw one out there by name. Julius Peppers. Julius Peppers in 2014 had a little bit of a resurgence within himself and actually made an impact on quite a few different occasions that season. He had 2 interceptions for touchdowns. He had several big sacks. He had a huge sack in the Dallas playoff game. He showed up. This year, no. He's made some plays. He's doing okay. He's serviceable. I'm not saying Julius Peppers sucks, but he definitely sucked on the DeMarco Murray touchdown run today because he walked, and I say walked because he was not playing full speed. He walked right past DeMarco Murray, setting the most pathetic edge I've ever seen in my life, especially for a 14, 15-year veteran who's been in Pro Bowls before, and watched DeMarco Murray jog into the end zone because Murray is injured and can't even run full speed, but still somehow managed to outrun all the Packers. There wasn't a single Green Bay Packer on the TV screen. So there needs to be some changes, yes. I mean, guys need to stay healthy. And like you said, Jacob, it's not anybody's fault they get injured. It's not like guys try to get hurt. Sam Shields, you mentioned Sam Shields. I'm here to tell you again, I know we've debated this before between us, you know, Sam Shields is done. He's not coming back and playing for the Packers. He might play football again for another team. He's not playing for the Green Bay Packers again. He's done. That's obviously not hit the wire. Has not hit the transaction wire. I don't have a source. That's not official, but that's Jason's declaration on Sam Shields. You will not see him in a Green Bay Packers uniform again. So they're going to have to make some changes. And so one of these positions – last year, the wide receiver position was an embarrassment of riches. Remember them using that phrase, and then all of a sudden Nelson gets hurt, and the whole thing changed in an instant. Well, this year it was the cornerback position. You had Shields coming back. Demarius Randle's a year older. Quentin Rollins is primed. And these other guys, you know, Ladarius Gunter's a year older, Micah Hyde, all these guys, all of a sudden, it's a liability now. It's one of the worst positions on the team. So health, it's a tough thing in the NFL, but depth is what gets you where you need to go if you're going to win games, and the Packers just don't have the depth. Ted Thompson, what he's got in the cupboard at cornerback ain't great. You're talking about Ladarius Gunter, hot and cold. Demetri Goodson, awful under every circumstance. Kentrell Bryce, way too young and green, undrafted free agent. You're counting on him to do things that he shouldn't be able to do. He can hit the heck out of a ball carrier, but can't be where he needs to be. Not so Simon Sure. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do, but they're going to need to attack it differently. And whether that's because there's a different person pulling the trigger on the decisions, or if it is Thompson and McCarthy, they got to do something different. Otherwise, our shows during the offseason are going to be a broken record of me saying, I don't have any great expectations for this team because they're doing the same thing. So I guess I can look for another disappointing, mediocre season and a team that will be lucky, apparently, to finish 8-8.
A lot of stuff in there, and that leads me to one question. Jason, what is the definition of insanity?
Yeah. It's doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result.
Correct. The reason I asked that question is because 20 games, 21 games now is a large sample size, and the Packers continue to, on the field, do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. And what I'm getting at now, to move on from that question, is, you know, I want to know if you're in Mark Murphy's office and the season goes the way that you think it's going to go. Obviously, Jason, I believe you're in the same train I am. Mike McCarthy, as far as I'm concerned, I'm done. And that's just me as a fan. I don't know anything about whether Mark Murphy believes that or not. Is it relatively safe to say, in your thought, if the Packers miss the playoffs and continue to look the way that they have, that Mike McCarthy would be fired?
I put that chance at least 80% or above, yes, because you have Aaron Rodgers and you have a healthy Aaron Rodgers, so your trump card is gone.
Correct. Okay. So with that in mind, that leads me to something that was brought up on Twitter to Aaron Nagler, and something I've been thinking about for a few weeks now, is what is the direction from here then? Because my thought on this is everyone knows, the Packers have said as much, that they have their replacement for a general manager in mind. They know who it is what Mark Murphy said, and they know when it is. I think when Mark Murphy said he knew when it was, that he anticipated the team doing the same things that they've been doing, making the playoffs, making a run at the Super Bowl. Right now, despite being one game out of the division, it doesn't look as if that is what's going to continue. And the reason I say all that is maybe they can talk Ted Thompson into an early retirement as opposed to firing him, basically firing him without firing him or promoting him within the organization. Because Ted Thompson, let's be honest, guys, I know he gets a lot of hate from a lot of people, but he has done a good job in Green Bay. You don't make the playoffs 7 years in a row. You don't draft drafting Aaron Rodgers. I think people forget how much guts that took at the time. Trading Brett Favre to start Aaron Rodgers, same thing. Putting talent around those guys. Now, he has some shortcomings. He's not perfect. I understand that. But he's done a good job. So maybe giving him a role within the organization. But my thought is, if you're going to replace the general manager, or the head coach, excuse me, and you know who the new general manager is going to be, reality is Ted Thompson's an older guy. He's not going to be around forever. And he's not going to be around very long, I don't think, either. So if your new general manager is Elliott Wolf, to use a name, because that's pretty much widely speculated as to who the guy is, why would you not let him pick the new head coach? And I think that makes sense because, you know, GMs always want to pick their guy as the head coach. They put their stamp on the team that way. That's why Ted Thompson fired Mike Sherman and hired Mike McCarthy. He wanted his guy. He inherited Mike Sherman, did not want Mike Sherman, hired Mike McCarthy eventually. Elliott Wolf, or whoever the new general manager is, in my opinion, should be picking the next head coach because Ted Thompson is not going to be here for five more years. You know, I thought my speculation was, I believe his contract runs out in two more years, and I could be wrong on that. My thought was he was going to finish out his contract and be done. But to me, there's no sense in letting the guy who's only going to be here for a couple years pick the new head coach because the head coach, you figure that's a 4 or 5 year deal. Assuming the Packers let him play out that contract, coach out that contract, rather. Ted Thompson's not going to be around for the majority of that. I just don't see the sense in letting him pick the next head coach. So, Jason, what are your thoughts in general on not just a new head coach, but potentially a new general manager as well?
The one thing I'll say about that is that at least the discussion about it and the topic is no longer taboo. We poo-pooed it before and said, you know, you're crazy. These guys have had a long history of success. You cited the years and making the playoffs, the number of wins, the winning percentage. And you can't ignore those things if you look at a whole body of work. I mean, fans are all about the recency. It's what have you done for me lately? And they're tired of the one and out in the playoffs and, you know, the narrative about the Packers' downward spiral since the NFC Championship game. Okay, fine. It's true if you look at the numbers. They haven't been good, and that definitely seemed to have had an impact on this entire regime. And I think maybe I think it could be a good part of the reason why the players who were here during that time might be starting to sour a little bit on this staff. But I don't know exactly who you go after, but I think it's a valid conversation. And I think you're right, Jacob. Obviously, if you're going to make changes, make it make sense. People just want to knee jerk and say, oh, get rid of Ted Thompson. He's been here and done this. You know, he ducks responsibility. He doesn't answer questions after the season's over. He's on the first plane out of Green Bay 2 minutes after the last seconds tick off the playoff loss to go scout some Division V school. You know, those types of things. And he does do that. He has done that, actually, in the past. But, you know, like you said, it's got to make sense. If you're going to switch, if Ted Thompson's done in a year or two, and the Packers, remember, they know when Ted Thompson is planning on being done. So if he's going to hang it up, you got to let whoever's coming in make the decision on who the head coach is going to be. So we can sit here and speculate all day on who we think's coming in. But until we know who's in position A, we don't know who's going to fill position B. Because you have to assume if Ted Thompson's gone, I don't think there's a good chance. The way that this season is going, if it doesn't turn around, I don't think there's a good chance Mike McCarthy's going to survive a new GM who's going to come in here and say, you know what, this guy can stay. He'll be fine. It's not going to happen. So we could start speculating some names. I think our friend Jason Hirschhorn of Acme Packing Company is going to put a piece out that we'll talk about some head coaching candidates that could possibly work in Green Bay. This is where I have to say, you know, I can only add so much to this conversation, Jacob, and this is where maybe, you know, someone like yourself or some of the guys that are a little more film smart and schematically wise might have a better take, because you have to look at who the players are on the roster and who can come in and get the most out of them. You can't just say, oh, bring Bill Parcells in here and he's got a great track record, and watch him light it up with all these players that they have. Will these players respond to a Bill Parcells? Oh, let's try to coax John Gruden and Bill Cowher out of retirement. We want a name. So let's bring these guys in here and, you know, they can get it done. Oh, hey, let's go get Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards will get this team fired up before it begins. He'll give a great rousing speech, and this team will get really fired up. No, be smart about it. You have to think about all of the pieces that are in place and how you're going to get the most out of them. I can't say I'm qualified to make that decision, but I'll go back to what I said at the very beginning here, Jacob, which is the conversation is valid, the question is valid, and it's something worthy of discussion.
It is, and, you know, I want to make something clear on a few things you said. First of all, the people who are criticizing Ted Thompson for not answering questions, not signing free agents, all of that goes back to one simple thing. More often than not, and that's not everybody, because I hate to generalize, but those are the same people I was talking about earlier that are snuggling with their number four jerseys, because there are a lot of people that will never forgive Ted Thompson for trading Brett Favre. And that's what I think the majority of that criticism comes from, the Favre people. You know, the people who wore purple when Brett Favre went to Minnesota. The people who were rooting for the Vikings to win the Super Bowl. The guys that were standing on the rafters at Lambeau Field yelling J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 after a Packers loss against the Houston Texans. And I know that happened because I heard it with my own ears that day. Ted Thompson's not perfect, but he's done a very good job. I also want to say Mike McCarthy has been a very good coach. A lot of people point to the fact he only won one Super Bowl with an MVP quarterback. I understand that. That's disappointing. At the same time, he's a very good coach. And I think a lot of teams around this league would be lucky to have someone like Mike McCarthy as their head coach. At the same time, the Bill Walsh theory comes into play here. It appears the message has gotten stale. They look like a team that is unprepared, not coached, or not listening to the coaching. And that starts with the quarterback, and it really goes across the board. But at the same time, a fresh start somewhere else, I think McCarthy can be a successful head coach somewhere else, but not anymore here in Green Bay. And I think you mentioned, you know, if one guy's gone, I've always imagined those two, Mike and Ted, are hooked at the hip. When one goes, the other will go as well. Similar to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. That is my theory on those two as well. But, you know, I think, like you said, it's a valid discussion at this point because I mentioned earlier, you know, you've got no reason, in my opinion, to let a general manager that won't be around for that long to pick the new head coach. You know, you kind of mentioned some other stuff in there as well. The one thing I do want to get to is the one question I've always asked everybody, and I didn't want to be a hypocrite with this, because whenever it's, you know, after, whether it was after they lost to the 49ers in 2012 or 2013 or the loss to Seattle, whatever, my question is always, if not the current guy, then who? And Jason, I know you have mentioned, I have mentioned to you some candidates that I've had in mind. Before I reveal them, because I have not revealed them to anybody, who would it be? Do you have anybody in mind? Oh, wait a minute. Before I move on, one more thing. John Gruden, Bill Cowher, Herm Edwards, not coming out of retirement. Stop suggesting they will. Why would they? And you don't want them because they've been out of the NFL forever. No more of that talk ever. Now, Jason, any candidates?
Yeah, and I meant to make sure I made that clear as well. I mean, none of those guys are optimal choices. So, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, and I think fans sometimes get a little desperate and they start thinking about a coach that won a Super Bowl 15 years ago, and I think they could just plug him in. I'll give you another example, Jacob. Mike, my favorite pronunciation, Mike Holmgren. Mike Holmgren. Everybody wants Holmgren back in Green Bay. Really? Do you? 24 years ago he comes in, and with that team and the way that team was built, 24 years. That's the best you can come up with. Come on, Packers fans, you're better than that. I don't really know. I don't really have a name because, like I said, I don't know enough about the guys that are available out there, assistants throughout the league. I mean, if somebody's up on the assistant coaches in the NFL, then you are a stud because I don't barely know all the assistant coaches' names on the Green Bay Packers, let alone throughout the league, or a guy that is coaching in a system that's similar to Green Bay's, or a guy that the way that he approaches his game plan with his team might fit well in Green Bay, given the fact that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the face of the franchise and the focal point of this team for the next 6 or 7 years at least. So I don't know. I really have no idea. I mean, you'd have to assume that if it's not an offensive guy, that it's going to be a defensive guy that can bring in a rock star offensive coordinator, because you've got to take care of this offense. You know, it's supposed to be the lifeblood of the team. The defense held the thing together last year, and sure, it'd be great to get a defensive guru to come in here like a Dan Quinn, for example. And I'm not saying he's a great head coach. The jury is still out on him in Atlanta. But you get a defensive guy that comes in and they turn the Packers into this great defensive team that can hold opponents to less than 20 points. But look what's happening in Minnesota. If you don't take care of the offensive side of the ball, and I get the whole quarterback situation, Bridgewater got hurt, but Sam Bradford won him 5 games, but look what's happening if you don't take care of both sides of it. So that's why it's so hard for me to sit here and say, well, just plug this guy in. I've heard Josh McDaniel's name thrown around, maybe. It didn't go so great for him in Denver. And I realized that he had Jay Cutler and there was some drama there, and that didn't really bode too well. But, these guys, they're in these roles for a reason. And so guys like Josh McDaniel, Daryl Bevel, for example, some of the hot coordinators around the league that might be ready to step up and take another job, or take a guy who's been a head coach before and, let's bring him in here. I really have no idea, honestly. I just hope that if they do make a change, that it's somebody that makes sense for both sides of the ball. And I hope it's somebody who can unite this team, because we don't know what's happened behind closed doors, Jacob, but I have a question for you. And my question is, how much belief do you have that Mike McCarthy can hold this team together? Because we saw them gel today, and we saw them come to the aid of Aaron Rodgers on that rushing touchdown after he got hit by Parrish Cox in the end zone. Everybody came to his aid, and they were backing up their quarterback. So it's good to see there's some unity there. But as far as unity in the locker room, do you really think Mike McCarthy has a hold of this team that way? And that's my biggest thing, is if they're going to bring somebody in, please let it be somebody that can be a little bit more of a glue type of guy for the entire roster.
The answer to your question is I used to, because I've seen him do it. 2010, 2011, when they were, the target was on their back and they went 15-1. 2012, they had a rough patch. 2013, the starting quarterback got hurt. And they didn't do great, but he kept them afloat. 2014, they started bad. Aaron Rodgers does the RELAX thing, and all of a sudden they're within 4 minutes of going to the Super Bowl. I used to believe he could do that, but now for 21 games, I've watched undisciplined, unprepared, stubborn football. So no, I don't believe that he can do that anymore. And I think that as a product, you never used to hear public questioning of, the questions of play calling and all that other stuff. Most of that came from fans. Last year it was Josh Sitton. You've got Aaron Rodgers looking at the sideline and giving him the "what the hell are we doing" kind of look, and players in general are just questioning what's going on. It's becoming more and more pronounced. And, the first play of the game was telling to me whether that's Dom Capers or Mike McCarthy when Quentin Rollins pulls up and Julius Peppers is playing half speed. This is a game – the Packers are 4-4. You have to win. This isn't a game where you're 7-1 and, if you drop a game on the road, whatever, you're still 7-2 and in good position. The Packers are not – if the season ends today – Packers are not in the playoffs. You have to win this game. You have to win next week's game now, and I anticipate more of the same. So that's how I feel about that. As far as the question I asked, I had some time on the drive home today to kind of digest this and think about all of it. And I do have a couple names, because I refuse to be a hypocrite and not be able to answer the question of who. Now that I'm on the Fire Mike McCarthy bandwagon, I can't not answer my own question that I've asked of people for the last 4 years. Let me start by saying, I know last night somebody, I can't remember who, said that the, you know, the Packers should have people lining up for that job, and I agree with that because people are going to line up to want to coach Aaron Rodgers and this offense. But somebody quoted it and said they should look to Ann Arbor, Michigan. I don't think Jim Harbaugh is leaving Michigan, and that's from stuff I've heard locally, stuff I've read. I don't think Jim Harbaugh is leaving. Now, I think he'd be a great coach in the NFL again. I think he'd do some great things in Green Bay. I watched him make Colin Kaepernick a great quarterback. I've watched him at Michigan make Jake Rudock a really good quarterback. Jake Rudock was nothing at Iowa. They didn't even want him at Iowa. They could have had him for a fifth year and had the experience, and they wanted to go with C.J. Beathard. They didn't want him. So I've seen Harbaugh do things with quarterbacks, and now you're giving him the quarterback as far as Aaron Rodgers goes. I just don't think that's feasible to get him to come to the NFL. Now, you know, there's a lot to be said. I don't know, you know, who could be looking as a current head coach to get out of their job to come to Green Bay or who could get fired and potentially come to Green Bay. There's a lot of things that can change, but there are some candidates as far as a promotion could go. Jason, you mentioned one as far as Josh McDaniels goes. The only thing that I have pause on for that is, yes, looks like a good offensive. I think he would do some great things with Jordy and Randall Cobb by seeing the way that he's used Julian Edelman for the last couple of years and Rob Gronkowski, although the Packers don't have a player like that. But, you know, I still worry about, you know, in the NFL, when he was a head coach for the Broncos, he basically ran off all their good players. Like, he, Brandon Marshall was sick of him, and he hitched his wagon to Tim Tebow with a draft selection, and that was horrible. And, you know, there's just a lot of bad that came out of the Josh McDaniels tenure, and the Bill Belichick coaching tree is not very strong. And what I mean by that is, you know, you look at Charlie Weiss, had a couple decent years at Notre Dame, ultimately failed. Romeo Crennel, same thing. None of the other Belichick, Josh McDaniels is one on that list as well. None of the Belichick coordinators have been successful as a head coach. And that gives me some pause as far as he goes. Darrell Bevell is another one, former Wisconsin quarterback, has done some good stuff in Seattle with their offense. But, Jason, I have told, I lied earlier, I'm sorry, I have told you, and I was somewhat joking, but the more I think about it, as far as coordinators go, and I don't know if this is realistic because it's a division opponent, I think the Packers need to hire an offensive guy because my other theory is there are more good defensive coordinators in the NFL than offensive coordinators. I think it's easier to find a offensive head coach with a good defensive coordinator than a good defensive coach with a good offensive coordinator. And you kind of mentioned, when you've got a defense guy or an offense guy as the head coach, that's what you need. You need a good coordinator. You know, for example, you know, Mike McCarthy, when he hired Dom Capers, Dom Capers was a good hire for a couple years. It's kind of fallen apart recently. But Dom Capers was kind of the thinking there of getting a good defensive coordinator. And I think the Packers need to go with an offensive guy. I just don't foresee a defensive coach here because it's easier to find a good defensive coordinator. So when I go to offensive coordinators, the one name that came to mind, I look in Detroit, and the guy was kind of a running punchline because of his name. But the reality is the Detroit offense, with since he's taken over, has been very productive. Matthew Stafford has been referred to in the past as, like, similar to Jay Cutler. He's a dark horse MVP candidate this year, and he's been very good under the tutelage of Jim Bob Cooter. And I'm trying not to laugh as I say his name because it is funny. You know, the maturity level is at an all-time low at this point as far as the show goes. But, you know, this is an offense in Detroit that lost Calvin Johnson. And we're not talking about the same thing as Green Bay losing Jordy Nelson. And Jordy Nelson is great. Jordy Nelson was great in 2014. He was never Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson is an all-world, Hall of Fame-type wide receiver. And Jordy Nelson is not that. And the Lions' offense is arguably more productive with guys like Marvin Jones and Golden Tate, no disrespect to those guys, but that's not exactly Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. You know, at least on paper, and again, we mentioned on paper, those guys are better options than those two. So, my guy is Jim Bob Cooter. And, you know, a lot of people may be like, well, not that guy. He's never been a head coach. How do you know? And the reality is when you hire a coordinator, you never know. You know, when the Packers hired Mike McCarthy, he had no idea whether or not he was going to be a good coach or not. It wasn't a sexy hire, so to speak, but it's worked out really well. The Packers have won a lot of division titles. They've won a Super Bowl. They've been to two conference championship games and worked out really well. So that's my guy. My guy is Jim Bob Cooter from the Detroit Lions, the offensive coordinator. And I reserve the right to change my mind once the whole thing happens. If they do fire McCarthy, there will be other coaches, I'm sure, that may line up at the door, and I may prefer one of those then. But today on November 13th or whatever the hell day it is, Jim Bob Cooter, that's my guy. So, Jason, any thoughts on that?
Well, I actually got up close and personal with Jim Bob Cooter last week. Left a dramatic pause in there on purpose to let everybody's mind run wild. But no, the Detroit Lions happened to be at a at an establishment that I happened to work in. So I had an up-close and personal encounter with most of the team, which was kind of exciting if you're not a Vikings fan last week. But I don't know. I mean, he coached the team well enough to score him enough points to beat the Packers last year, although that was kind of a messy game, and the Lions did take the division lead on their bye week, so they're obviously doing something right. I guess if I look at it, I was in the house for the majority of last week's game between the Vikings and Lions. You know, the Lions' offense, for not having Calvin Johnson anymore and losing their top running back and Amir Abdullah, Matt Stafford's, you know, had two really solid years in a row. So I think, honestly, Jacob, I don't think it's as silly of an idea as – I think the silliest part of your idea is the name, and he's nothing he can do about it. You know, that's the name that his parents gave him. But we'll see what happens at the end of the season. And I mean, you said it's a divisional opponent, but, you know, the Lions have come after Packers assistants before. I think they wanted Elliott Wolf, and the Packers somehow either convinced Wolf to stay or threw him a bone to keep him away from Detroit. So I don't see any reason why the Packers couldn't look in that direction or wouldn't possibly look at one of those guys if they really believed that that was the answer. I guess it's disappointing that we are even having this conversation with seven games still to play, because that means that we're focused on other things other than the direction that the Packers are headed. But unfortunately, that's the reality of the day.
It is. And that's, you know, that's really what they've warranted, because, you know, they're 4-5. And, you know, now at this time of the year, when you and I were expecting 7-2 or 8-1 or something of that sort, you know, we're expecting to talk about home field advantage and how they're going to blow the Redskins out of the water on Sunday Night Football. And, you know, the offense is flying up and down the field, and the defense would be great, and, or at least better than it was. And it's just not. None of those things have come to fruition. The Packers, I think, are the leader in the clubhouse this year, or most disappointing team in the NFL. And, you know, with the way I felt about this season when the season began, I can't believe I'm saying that, because I really thought this team was destined to be special and that it was derailed. And now, you know, I'm sitting back thinking it seems like the end of the Mike McCarthy tenure is going to be, you can start the book at Morgan Burnett's interception in the NFC Championship game against the Seahawks, and they just never recovered from falling apart after that. And that's what it sounds like, and it is a tough thing to recover from, you know, collapsing when you're that close to the Super Bowl, when you've got questions about, you know, how aggressive were they? Were they aggressive enough? You know, did they play not to lose? And in my estimation, they did on that day. And, you know, now you're talking about the end of the book being they just kind of bumble through. They make the playoffs last year on the strength of a fast start. And this year they bumble through a season where you know, you've got all your guns back. You've got some players, you know, the talent on this roster. I believe there's enough talent. It's just not being utilized properly. And some of it's injured. I know that. They still have a lot. You know, you still have Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery and Davante Adams. And there's a lot of people that would want that group of offense. And I'm watching Marcus Mariota light up the Packers with guys like Kendall Wright and Tajay Sharpe and Delanie Walker. And again, nothing against those guys. Tajay Sharpe may end up being a really good player, but they just make it look easy. And the Packers are just a struggle for everything with those guys. That's unacceptable. And when the head coach is an offensive guy and you add in all the other stuff, time for the head coach to go. So Jason, real quick, before we close out here, we're not going to break down the Redskins game because I feel like this discussion is more important. But real quick, Washington or Green Bay, it's a 7:30 kickoff, so you'll be waiting all day for Sunday night or dreading Sunday night, whichever way you want to look at it. But what are your thoughts on Sunday night's game against Washington?
Well, I kind of teased it earlier. I'm not picking the Packers until they win a game, so I'm basically going to have to be wrong in picking against them and having them beat whoever it is that I pick to win. I'm going with the opposition until the Packers beat somebody, because I just don't think that they can. And especially on the road. I mean, the Redskins beat Minnesota in a late game today in Washington. And say what you will about the Vikings and how fast they're spiraling downward or imploding. They've lost four in a row. The Vikings are still an okay team. They're still a decent team. So that's a pretty big win for Washington. They've got some momentum. Green Bay hits the road again and comes in after three straight losses. They've got nothing to build on, nothing to look to. I don't see any way that they beat Washington. And with the pass rush that Washington has, and after watching Aaron Rodgers get thrown around by a Tennessee Titans team that hasn't really done a whole lot to impress anybody this season so far, explain to me how the Packers expect to get a victory. So we're looking at more of the same, I think, next week. And the only question mark is going to be what the numbers are on the scoreboard.
You asked me to ask you how they can beat Washington, and I can't tell you. I know last year that this team is pretty much the same now that it was back then, as far as a team that's not that good and playing an opponent that also isn't that good. But I mean, you mentioned it. Washington destroyed Minnesota up front today. Their defense is not great, but it's okay. Their offense can do some good things with Kirk Cousins. And, you know, the other thing is the Packers starting right guard next week is very likely to be Don Barclay. And that is terrifying. So you're talking about a pass rush. That pass rush gets even better with T.J. Lang out, because they have one less guy to be able to neutralize that. And we don't know about David Bakhtiari either. So you're talking about potentially Jason Spriggs getting his first start as a left tackle. I don't have a score prediction, Jason. I'm with you, but I think we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about a 4-6 Packers team going into a Monday night showdown, if you want to call it that, Monday night game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So we both like Washington next week. And, you know, this was a long show. It was fun from the standpoint of unscripted. And there's a lot to discuss. Unfortunately, these shows are a lot more fun when we were doing shows like we were in 2014, when the Packers were very good and Super Bowl contenders. Now, it appears they're a team that is destined to miss the playoffs and be one of the more disappointing teams in the NFL. Now, I'd be stunned if the Packers finished the season 4-12, because there's just a game or two left on the schedule. You imagine they should be able to win. But, you know, Jason, as you said, there's no easy games anymore. You know, the only team I would feel really confident in picking them, the only game I would be confident picking them in is against the Cleveland Browns. And that is it. Otherwise, the Packers are, as I've joked on both social media accounts the last 2 weeks, a walking dumpster fire. And that is my final thing from today's show. So thank you guys for listening and sticking with us. Long show today. Be sure to check out PackersTalk.com for all your latest Packers news and podcasts. You can follow the show on Twitter. We are at Packer Pulse. You can follow or add us on Snapchat. We are Packer Pulse. I've sent some stuff out today. You guys have done a good job as far as interacting with us on there. It's been new. It's been fun. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm Jacob Westendorf, and Jason is at Jason Perrone. Want to thank our sponsor, Ticket King. I know that right now you're probably not all that excited about the prospect of buying Packers tickets, but if you are, it's right down the street from the stadium. Grab some tickets, go in, and help me cheer on this team, and hopefully maybe that can help help the struggles end a little bit. But no ticket king of the game today, because reality is they're just – right now the Green Bay Packers are a bunch of court jesters, and that's what they are right now. And it looks as if it's going to remain that way. Send us questions, comments, concerns throughout the week. We're happy to interact with you guys. Thank you to the fans for listening and chimed in during the live show here. Give us a download. But, you know, it's depressing. The Packers are 4-5, staring at 4-6, maybe 4-7, 4-8, all the way down the line. Who knows? There's a lot that can change, I guess, in a few weeks. But as of right now, Packers are not a good football team, and it appears that that may be something that is no longer a blip but actually a trend. So with that in mind, we will talk to you guys next week, and thank you for listening to Pulse of the Pack.
Of the Pack Podcast.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at ticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.